Thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning? And it's good to have Pastor Eric with us this morning. Welcome back. Just going to open with prayer, and we'll kind of just continue with some things that the Lord's been sharing with us. And so, Father God, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and for your love. Lord, we just thank you for how faithful and how good you are. Lord, we only know just such a little tiny part of all that you do for us every single day. And so, God, we're just so thankful. We're so thankful. And so, Father God, as we just prepare our hearts to receive this morning, God, we just believe we receive that you'll open our ears, open our hearts, give us understanding, give us revelation. And, Lord, I just believe we receive your help as in sharing what you've laid upon my heart. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. So we started a message a couple weeks ago about crossing over, and we're just looking at some scriptures from the book of Joshua, and we're started in Joshua chapter 1 last week. We won't be rereading anything from Joshua chapter 1, but if you can just remember from, you know, your knowledge of the scriptures, they're at the edge of the promised land. Moses has led them for 40 years through the wilderness, and then Moses dies. And Joshua steps up as the new leader. God had already anointed him and set him into place. And we just brought out a few little pieces from the message last time and just want to cover three of the main points before we get into today's. But it's just important, and this applies to us as a body. It applies to us as individuals. This is just a season of transition. Even if Pastor Eric wasn't having the things that he was experiencing, the church would still be changing. We would still be experiencing change. Our lives would still be experiencing change. And so it's just important to just recognize that we are in a season of change. You know, I like to live in this little fairy tale world and just kind of, this is the way we go to work, you know, and it's the same routine and the same things over and over and over. But life really, I mean, we can pretend, but how many of us know that when we get to the following year, a year from now, a year is going to have gone by. Time passes, things change. So it's important just to recognize, and that's true of just everyday life, but it's especially true of this season that we're in. This, in the global scale, in the kingdom of God scale, this is a season of change. There are things changing all over the body of Christ. And so it's just a huge amount of change taking place right now. And it's okay to mourn. You know, some of us, we may have had our hearts really attached to and set on things from the last season. And it's okay to mourn that, to mourn the loss, because when you experience change, there are going to be some things that aren't the same anymore. And it's hard. It can be really hard to make those places of change and experience those places of loss. But I think it's just so wonderful that God, even in the Old Testament, you know, the scriptures that we were looking at, the Israelites mourned Moses' death for 30 days, and we had a month. But at the end of that time, God spoke to Joshua and said, Moses is dead. Okay, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And so in whatever we're experiencing in our lives, there's going to be a place where we need to be ready to get up and, you know, okay, let's get back in and let's start moving. And we left off last week, or last time I spoke, with just the importance of how important it is to prepare ourselves. Staying before the Lord, hearing him. We need one another's strength right now. We all need to be hearing from the Lord instead of just all, you know, sucking on whoever our spiritual leaders are. We all need to hear what God is saying. We may need to be the one that stands up and gives some encouragement to somebody else. And so if we're all in that place where we're hearing and listening and staying connected to the Lord, whatever that looks like for us, then we can be strong. You know, so let's go ahead. Let's just continue. We're going to continue in Joshua chapter 1, and we'll bring out a few more points this week. This is verse 12. Thank you. Whoever said that for me, I'm like, you know, when you get trifocals, you know, it's one of those changes. You go through change. Yeah. You got to like, okay, which part of my glasses is it that, you know, anyway, okay. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array all your valiant warriors, and you shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gave you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. So I just want to kind of lay that out a little bit. If you're not super familiar with that passage of scripture, there's 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 tribes of Israel. The Jordan River was the border, the promised land. They had to cross the Jordan to enter the promised land. The way that they ended up wandering through the wilderness, they were on the border of the promised land. And 2.5 tribes said, we want to stay here. God said, and he had told them for however many years, 40 years, you know, I've got this wonderful place, this place flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you there. But 2.5 tribes of Israel decided that they were going to stay on the other side of the Jordan and not enter the promised land. So we're going to be spending a little time here. So it's just important to realize when we go through seasons of change and things shift and things move, there might not be everybody that we, you know, in our perfect world, we're just going to take everybody with us. Come on, let's go. But it's not always that way. Sometimes there's people that don't, they just want to stay where they are. I don't know about you or what your testimony is, but, you know, those that maybe have had a testimony of coming out of deep darkness, when you got saved, you probably wanted to bring all those people into the light. Did they come? But you invited probably a whole bunch of them. And whatever the season of change is that we might be experiencing, it's just important to recognize that it doesn't always look like the way we'd like it to look. Where we stay together and it's like everything, okay, we're all together still. You know, everybody's still in the boat. Yay! You know, no, sometimes when the waves come, some people jump the ship. They're like, ooh, I'm out of here. You know, some things, you know, life isn't always just simple. You know, I somehow get it in my head. I don't know if you get it in yours, but that it's going to be this place of, you know, everything's going to just be wonderful every single day. But God never says that's the way it's going to be. Anyway, I just think it's fascinating. We're just going to just bring out a few points here. At any time, the Reubenites, you know, these 2.5 tribes, at any time, they could have made that choice and made that decision. So stop and think about it. What they did, the arrangement that Moses made them do, you know, Moses wasn't happy that they were coming to him and asking permission to do this. So he made a tough bargain with him, and he said, you have to send your warriors to help your brothers and sisters fight. If you choose to stay here, we're not going to make you go into the promised land, but you have to send your warriors. That's what we're reading in those couple of verses in Joshua. And so these warriors, their best fighters, they're mighty men of God. They went into the promised land and saw everything. They saw the cities. They fought the battles. And at the end of that time, they still chose not to stay or enter into what God had promised the 12 tribes of Israel. They still went back. But at any time, they could have. You know, you'll go through scriptures and you'll see where the people that stayed on the other side of the Jordan River, that didn't come into the promised land, they got attacked. Enemies would come. And even then, they still they still didn't choose to just, okay, we're going to, you know what, we're finding out that this isn't as good as we thought it would be. We're going to cross the river and we're going to go live with our brothers and sisters on the other side. So sometimes, you know, there's a scripture that Jesus shares. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we're not going to go back and read it, but in those few verses that we're reading in Joshua 12, 13, 14, when you go back through that and look at it, what did they leave on the other side of the river? They left their family. They left their flocks. They left their wealth. They're not going to be carrying all that stuff to go fight. They left that at home. They built sheep pens, and you'll read it in the scriptures. They got everything set up. They got their family set up, and then they crossed. So it's just important to think about when we're crossing over, where is our treasure? Just a question to ask. If we're having a rough time in a season of change, what is it that we really value? What is it that we really value? And where is it? Where is it? Which side of the promised land, which side of that river is it? Go ahead, Mike. So not everyone will be crossing over. Some folks are going to be comfortable staying where they are in the wilderness. I don't know about you. I think everybody's personalities are different. But if I could, you know, you know the scripture talks about Jesus being a good shepherd. You know, and he talks about in Psalm 23 that he leads. You know, we have songs about it. Where he leads me, I will follow. You know, and so a good shepherd leads. They're walking, and the sheep, he'll look back, are the sheep following? But I wouldn't be that kind of shepherd. If I had my choice, I'd get my little sharp stick, and if that sheep wasn't going, first I might hit him with it, you know, and if he still didn't go the way I'd want, I'd sharpen the stick, and I'd poke him with it till I got him where to go. That's just because I sometimes get to where I see, I've got a great place for you to go be in this pasture over here. You know, and if I can't get you to follow me, I'm going to beat you there. And if I can't get that to work, I'm going to poke you. Okay, so everybody's like, okay, we're going to keep a big distance from Sean from now on. You know, and so we have to be okay if people don't choose to go. We still get to love them, though. So I have to put my stick aside. I have to put my stick down. I just want to share something that sometimes things aren't always what we think. You know, when Jody and I first got here, 6 years ago, there were a lot of people here that aren't here now. Our church has continued changes, continued growing, and we've people have made the choice not to join or not to be here, and some have moved away. I just want to share that things aren't always what they seem. One particular individual, I'm not going to name names. Everybody's like, who's that? Who can that be? But I'm not going to say. But I was brokenhearted when the announcement was made that they were going to be leaving. And I was just, you know, had started to develop a friendship with this individual. And so I was just like, oh, God, what are you doing? And, you know, and I didn't find out for about 6 months when finally I realized I can still talk to this person. You know, sometimes. But anyway, and so, you know, we got together and we talked and he started to share. Ooh, I narrowed it down. What God had been doing. And it was like, God, you're so amazing. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. If I had had my way, that individual wouldn't have left. But when I heard what God had done, I had to realize God knew better. And so in seasons of change, sometimes because we only see in part, we might be thinking that, you know, hey, come on, everybody, you know. But God may have something different for some. And it's not always, you know, I know that this particular example I'm using is talking about a group of people that chose to stay on the other side. They just chose not to enter the promised land. But sometimes God has other places, and change happens because God's calling people into different places. And again, we have to be okay with that too. It's important to be okay with what God is doing. Sometimes it's hard, though. When God's touching things and changing things, we don't want him to. Sometimes. But sometimes we have to be okay with what God is doing. Okay, go ahead, Mike. So let's continue. The answer, Joshua, saying, "All that you've commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you." Now, I'm going to kind of just stop here. Who is speaking? Are these warriors? The 2.5 tribes that have already made the decision, they're going to stay out of the promised land. When they get done fighting, they're going back out of the promised land. We've got our part outside the promised land. We are not going to stay in. So that's who's speaking. These are these warriors. They answer Joshua, saying, "All that you've commanded us to do, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command, him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Aren't those great words? Those are great words. Don't be scared. I'm not doing anything. You know, like when you see the people like, "Oh, what did we do?" I just forgot my water. Those are great words, but I just want you to realize that they were spoken by people who had made a choice in their heart. "God, you know, I know, God, you've got this great place for us, but I just don't want to go there." Stop and think about that. Those were great words. If I was a leader, I'd want to hear those words from people. "Hey, we're going to go wherever you go. We'll do whatever you want us to do. We're behind you. And if they don't listen to you, we're going to kill them." You know, hey, I want that guy on my team, right? But stop and think. These people had already made up in their hearts, "We're not really going to go. When we're done fighting, you guys, you can have it. We don't want any part of it." Ouch. So it's not just, go ahead, Mike. It's not just our words that count. You know, there's a scripture that says God looks on the heart. And we don't always have that privilege or that benefit of being able to see where everybody's hearts are at. But God is seeing, and that's part of our preparation. We need to know where our heart's at. All right, it's what we do that matters. And not what we do, because they fought for a while, right? They helped their brothers, but then they, "Okay, you can have it. We'll go over here." You know, so it's what we do in the end. Now, this is a really important point. I kind of said it a little bit earlier, but it's just important to realize that God is not in the business of forcing anybody to do anything. It's hard for us. I know there's a lot of us that have unsaved loved ones, and if it were, you know, it's kind of that sheep example, you know, get that stick out, God, hit him with it, and if that doesn't work, poke him with it. You know, but God just doesn't do that. He'll do all that he can, but he's not going to go against anybody's will, including ours. So, all right. So let's keep going. Still some more points. Now, I skipped Joshua 2 for those that may be paying attention. That's the story of Rahab. And, yeah, we're not going to go there this morning. But we're going to pick it back up in Joshua 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. He and all the sons of Israel set out from a town called Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits." Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear a word I don't understand or don't know, my brain stops. So I'm going to just stop and give a little definition here so that, you know, you can keep going the rest of the way if you didn't know what a cubit is. A cubit is the distance from their elbow to their tips of their fingers, and there was different sizes, but it's about 1.5 feet or so. But anyway, so it's a good space. If you would want to just substitute 2,000 feet in there, that's going to be pretty close. I didn't figure out exactly. But anyway, but, you know, a distance of about, okay, just here and there, 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. So I'm just going to bring out a few parts, a few little points. And the first thing, it's important to follow our leaders. God's given them to us for a reason. And so follow our leaders. They're the ones, and you can see the picture, when it talked about that ark, that was this wooden box that God had them build that was overlaid with gold and had angels and cherubims and fancy stuff on it, and they carried it. They had poles through rings on the corners of the box, and they carried it on their shoulders. So they didn't put it on a cart. They didn't, you know, have any of that. They carried it. And so they're the ones, that ark of the covenant of God, it represented God's promise to the people. It represented his presence, that he would never leave them and never forsake them. Now, why is that important? If you remember last time, one of the points we brought out was that when they crossed over into the promised land, the way that God had done things for 40 years, he stopped. He didn't do it that way anymore. They had the pillar of fire by day and the cloud by, pillar of fire by night. Had to have the light in the middle of the night. And then the cloud by day. So just picture that for a moment. Picture that you're standing there, you're part of the Israelites group, and that's not a small cloud, and it's not a small fire. You can see it. It doesn't matter where you are in the tribes and all the armies of Israel. It didn't matter where they were. They all could see it. Now, that would be a great plan if it always worked that way, because it didn't matter whether or not they could even see their leaders. They could still see the cloud and they could see the fire. Can you imagine the comfort it was to them to see that fire? Even if they got up in the middle of the night, it was always there. 40 years. 40 years. But when they got to the edge of the promised land, God didn't do that anymore. So what is required now? More trust. More trust. Now picture this. Get your little armies of Israel, get your cloud. We'll do the daytime scene. So you might want to do a nighttime scene. That's fine. You can do a nighttime scene, day or night. What if the leaders tried to go this way? What is everybody able to see if the cloud is back there? What would everybody know? They're going the wrong way. Never happened, but everybody would know, right? But now they don't even have that. They have to trust. Now, who do they have to trust? They have to trust God, right? Still, even though they can't see that he's with them by day and night, they still have to trust him. But they also have to trust their leaders. Because they're not going to have, the congregation did not have an assurance or a guarantee like they did in the season of the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. They couldn't all just see, oh yeah, we're going the right way. Stop and think about that. That is actually a really big deal. It's not hard to follow leaders who have pillars of fire and cloud, and everybody can see. There's no question. We're going this way because we want to stay close to that fire and that cloud, because we know that's what helped us get out of Egypt. We know God is there. But now they're in a season, in a time, in a place where that's not happening anymore. And they're at the edge of the promised land. And what is there? Why is he saying this? There may have been a little bit of fear in the people. Well, maybe I need to go ahead so I can see what's out there. And it can say, oh, no, you don't want to go this way. I need to help him out. But what did Joshua give him instructions? He said, give them some space. I'm not going to do these slides in the right order, but that's okay. He said, give them some space. Give them some space. Okay? It's no longer going to have to be the fire and the cloud. It's going to have to be that ark of the presence. Give them some space. Give them some space. Do you know that's not my personality? I'm like, what you going to do now? What you going to do? Tell me. I want to know. And I want to be posted on Facebook. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear what's going on? Anyway, we won't put names on that. But it's important that this is a season. And again, this is the next slide. But we need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for national leadership. We need to be praying for our church leadership. Wherever you work, there's going to be transition. Because it's a season of transition. Whatever you're doing, whatever sphere, this transition that God is doing is touching everything. And so whoever your leaders are, be praying for them and give them some space. Don't be like me. Tapping them on the shoulder every 5 minutes. Did you decide yet what you're going to do? Did you decide yet? I really want to know. You know, I like to know. All right. So back up, Mike. Well, we're not quite there yet. You'll need to back up. You can just stop there. Another point of giving them some space is just realizing that God's doing a new thing. We are in a season of God doing a new thing. And that's exciting. It may be a little bit, you know, because we don't have the same things that we relied on for years. Think about it. 40 years. I wish I could say that I didn't know what 40 years was, but I can say I know how long 40 years is. And 40 years is a long time. It's a long time to be doing things the same way. And all of a sudden, God's doing a new thing. Wow. We have to be okay with God doing a new thing and be praying, be hearing and listening, and just look for what that new thing is. All right, Joshua chapter 3, we're going to just keep going. So remember, this is a river they're talking about. We're at the edge of the promised land, the border of the promised land in this picture is a river. So Joshua is just giving more instructions. I just kind of skipped around a little bit for sake of time. It shall come about when the soles of the feet, bottoms of their feet, of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord, the leaders, the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off. And the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So, again, I want you to just picture this first, and then we'll kind of talk about it. But whoever those people were that were carrying the ark, they had to walk to the middle of that river. Now, I didn't get a picture of the Jordan. I probably should have, just to help us picture this a little bit better. You know, here in northwest Oklahoma, most of the time our rivers are really kind of small. You know, cross the river, oh, no big deal. You know, they're kind of like a creek, really. You know, there's just a little bit of water. It might even be a little bit deep, but it's muddy and whatever. But, you know, it's not that big a deal. I didn't put the scripture in there, but what it says is that the Jordan River overflowed its banks at the time when they're doing this. It's flood season. Okay? So this was a big deal. It talks about them having to get their feet wet. They're probably a whole lot more than that got wet. And so picture this again in your mind. Picture them carrying that. Whoever those four people were that God chose to be the leaders, go before everybody. They had to carry it out there. And what happened to their feet? They got wet. So it took some faith for them. How many of us would have much rather had, okay, Joshua, Why didn't you know what? We saw Moses do this. You just take that staff. You just raise it. The waters will part. And then. But is God doing the same thing he did last time? He's not. This time, what did they have to do? They had to get their feet wet. Because the water didn't stop first. They had to do something first. Do we like it when God does things that way? But do you know, that's the way he does things almost always. Almost always, we have to take a step. You know, we're all very familiar, you know, even if it's just from grade school, maybe it's not our livelihood, but we're all very familiar that if you plant a seed, it's going to grow. And whatever it is, God often requires that we have to do something first. I wish it weren't that way. I wish I could stand here today and say, you know what? Wait for God to do whatever he's going to do, and then you'll know. Hey, if life were that easy, we'd all be exactly where God wanted us to be right now. God requires us to do some things sometimes without any visible evidence that he's there or that he's going to keep his word. Think about it. These people, they don't have the cloud. They don't have the fire. They're just out there in the middle of the river going, okay, you know, anytime now, God. You know, and that's sometimes what it is that God requires of us. I would have to say almost always. We're going to have to keep going. All right. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. Go ahead, Mike. And when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priest carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water. And here's the scripture about the overflow. For the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. The waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap. A great distance away at Adam, which is the name of a city, that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. Now, this is where we're going to be finishing today. So for those that are wondering, like, where, how long, you know, we're getting close. Expect miracles. This is where, you know, as much as all the other things that we've covered, you know, some of them are like, oh, you know, wait, God, you're not doing things, the things that you've always done. Ah. But as we learn to hear and obey and follow, even in seasons of transitions, we can expect miracles. I really do preach the same God that Pastor Virginia does, even though it doesn't seem like it most Sundays. If we go back to back, it's like, huh, what? You know, same Bible, what? You know, but no, we do have the same God. And God will confirm his word. We may not see it right away at the first time when we're, you know, making our faith declarations. We may not see it right away, but God will confirm his word. And we can expect miracles. And there's just a scripture for that. Many are probably familiar with it. But in Mark 16, this is speaking of Jesus' disciples, their apostles, that once Jesus had gone to heaven, Jesus was no longer there. Jesus was doing a new thing, and he required the apostles to do a new thing. For 3 years, they had had the same, you know, season of transition. But the apostles obeyed Jesus, and as they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed. So the good news is even though as we're walking this walk, hey, yeah, things are going to be different, but we are going to see God's hand. He will confirm that. Yeah, that is a place to give the Lord praise. There were miracles in the wilderness. God did some amazing things through them. You can read about it. There's quail and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of cool stuff. And God is ready. I think Mike's ready to go too. He's trying to rush me through. Sean, don't you see what time it is? Keep going. Keep going. It's okay. So there were miracles in the wilderness season. And we're thankful for what God has done. But whether it's for ourselves personally, for us as a body of believers, God has some miracles for us in the future. You know, but as we've kind of gone through, and I think the Lord's done a pretty, you know, there's a lot of change. You know, I think we're all ready for the miracles. Are we ready for the change? You know, because without the change, we won't experience the miracles. It takes both. We have to do our part, and God will do his. Why don't you stand? Thank you, Mike. Let's give Mike a hand. He has done a great job. Oh, Lord. Where did I leave my stick? Oh, sorry. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, this is an exciting season. Lord, I know that it has probably been a very a season that has had a lot of questions and a possibility for a lot of fear because, God, you're not doing things the same way that you've always done them. And Lord, I thank you, God, that even though we can't see you, you are still there. And so, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are leading our leaders, that you're giving them wisdom, you're giving them understanding. And Lord, that as our leaders, Father, we just thank you, Father, for anointing them. They're ordained for this season. And Lord, you've given them the anointing they need now for this season. And I just thank you for it, Lord. And so, Father God, we just look to you. And again, Father, even though we may not have all the answers and all the questions, Lord, we just, we trust you. And Lord, help us to trust our leaders. And to continue to pray for them and to be faithful to pray for them. And Lord, we are thankful and excited, Lord, that as we transition, we can expect miracles. And so, Father God, we give you all the praise and the glory for that today in Jesus' name. So, Lord, as we bring our service to the close, Lord, I just bless your people. I thank you, Father God, that for each and every day, Lord, you have some change and some transition. And, Father, every day, we can expect miracles. And so, Father God, help us to live our lives that way. So, Father God, I bless them. I just as we dismiss them today, God, I just bless them and believe and receive, God, your overflow and your abundance into every life and every sphere and realm of their life. And Father, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, our prayer servants will be, the prayer servant teams will be up in front. And thank you very much. Blessings.